Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And today, in today's episode, I'm going to talk about a RAG and agents. To be honest, it's been a while that I would like to talk about the subject, but I don't know why I didn't, so today, to the day. And well, why RAG and agents is interesting to talk about? First, because OpenAI, they just launched an update for GPT-4 that now they have a built-in agents that you can use. I think that you can use at most 3 agents per chat, but still it's a lot, and I think that the quality of their agents is quite good. So yeah, let's understand what's behind all of this. And just to understand first, what is the biggest problem that those agents and RAG they solve, especially RAG? Let's focus on RAG first. What is RAG? RAG is retrieval augmented generation, and the problem that it solves is ChatGPT or GPT-4, like those large language models, they were trained in a huge amount of data, but there are of course some documents that it never saw, and also the information that it saw, it like it's inside the algorithm and like the model, and there are a lot of information there. Maybe if you ask a question, it will hallucinate because I don't know why. But first, to decrease hallucination, and second, to be able to retrieve information from documents that it never saw without fine-tuning the model. But people created this new thing that is called a RAG, retrieval augmented generation, and let's understand what it does and how it works. So first, I'm gonna focus on documents because I think it's easier to explain, but later I'm going to show that it can be done with other stuff too. It's just a process to retrieve information that the model never saw before. Well, first of all, let's take a document. Imagine like a PDF or a book of 500 pages. If you want to ask a question about this book, you have 500 pages, which means that you have like thousands and thousands of tokens, and you cannot feed all this information to the model. If the model never saw it, the only way of retrieving this information is including in the prompt and then asking the question. But as the book is too long, you cannot include the whole book in the prompt. So what you need to do is that you need to find where in the book the answer of your question is, and then you gotta feed only this part of the book into the model so it can answer the question. Well, how to find this information in the book? The first thing that you gotta do is that you gotta split the book into multiple chunks. This chunk can be like page-wise, can be paragraph-wise, can be section-wise, like chapter-wise. You need to make sure that the information that is there can fit in the context window. The context window of the algorithm is the amount of tokens that it can process. If you take like the smallest version of ChatGPT, I think it's GPT 3.5, and it has a 4K tokens in the context window. And of course, if it has a 4K tokens, you gotta leave a space for the answer. So you can use like 3.5K tokens. So you need to split into multiple chunks if you have a 500 pages book. And I think that the biggest models today, they have 128K of context length, but I don't know if there are models with more, but I think that the GPT-4, the biggest one is 128K. Anyways, so now you split it in chunks. As I said, the chunk can be paragraph-wise, page-wise, or section-wise, whatever you want that can fit into the memory of the model. And you're gonna pass those chunks into an embedding space. What is an embedding space? Embedding space is a subject that I really like to talk about because it's very important and can be used for like different stuff, not only text. So on text, let's explain like in the beginning. So text is basically words, and from those words we get the tokens. There is a sub representation of the word, and we put in the vocabulary. Like we can have a vocabulary of 50,000 possible tokens, and in your sentence you're gonna basically transform into tokens. So there is no meaning in those tokens. Like doesn't matter if it's token 1, 2, 3, 4, you have no idea on what it means. But the embedding space has a meaning, so you need to put this token into the embedding space because it will have a meaning. Let's take the easiest example ever. You have a king and queen. King and queen, they are like far in the token space because first kings is with K and queen is with Q. But doesn't matter, like king and queen, there is the same distance between king and like or any other word in the vocabulary. Doesn't matter, there is no relationship between those tokens in the vocabulary. But if we take the embedding space, like the semantical information of king and queen, they will be close in this embedding space because the embedding space will take the semantical information, like the relationship between the meaning of those words. As I said, the tokens are subwords, so the meaning of the subword, but the transformer models, they are strong because they can also have the meaning of the sentence itself. why sentence embedding is way better than word embedding, because words in different positions and different words together, they can completely change the meaning of the sentence. So having an embedding space of the sentence is very good. And yeah, I think, well, this is embedding space is a space in that is a high dimensional space that has meaning in its context. And then, as I said, we need to put this information, the chunks that we split it, into the embedding space. And putting the embedding space, we're going to have a meaning of those chunks. And then basically what we need to do is to retrieve, like for the question that we also ask, we're going to put it in the embedding space and we're going to find the chunks that have a similar embedding space with the question that we just asked. Let's go into a bit more details on how to implement it. So basically you can use whatever the embedding model that you want. OpenAI has an embedding model like the ADA002 that is very cheap and quite good. There is also some open source embedding models such as on Hugging Face. I think that Cohere, they also have theirs. I think it's a paid one, but it's not OpenAI. So look, other companies doing great stuff. Anthropic, I think they also have theirs. Anyways, you have a lot of options. And once you have those embedding spaces, you gotta put them in a vector database. A vector database is like a normal database, but it's specialized into vector spaces. And you can perform queries on like using cosine similarity or other types of similarities in a very fast manner. So like it's a database specifically made for it. You have a lot of options too. You have a Chroma, Pinecone, Qdron. There's a lot of stuff. Like you can choose whatever you want. And there are a lot of resources on the internet. So you can check there what is the best one for your use case. But basically most of them are the same. And open source, so you don't need to pay for it. So once you have all your embedding spaces for each chunk in your vector database, you're going to basically compare the question, the embedding space of the question within the vector database. And you're going to find the chunks that have the most similarity, which means that they are possibilities to answer your question. You can choose if you're going to take only one chunk or if you're going to have multiple chunks based on a threshold of the cosine similarity. You can choose whatever you want and you're going to see what's the best for your application. And that's the way of retrieving information. Once you found what are the chunks that have the information that you want, you're going to put them in the prompt, ask the question, and the model will answer based on those chunks that you gave in the prompt. So basically, this is RAG. And as I said, you can do it with other types of information. Like imagine that you have audio. Like if you have an embedding space that in the audio space and in the text space, they are similar, you can perform the query automatically and return the audio. If you have images, you can do the same. Like let's take a case of using Clip as the embedding model. Like the Clip model, they have a similar embedding spaces for text and images. Why? Because Clip was trained using cosine similarity to make a text talking about dog and an image with a dog be close in the embedding space. So both text and image, they are close. So in theory, if you use Clip as an embedding model, you'll be able to retrieve based on images. And just a side note here, the diffusion models, most of them, they use the Clip text encoder as a frozen one because it's good enough already to make the relationship between image and text. Like just a side note, nothing related to the episode. And yeah, I think that basically that's it about RAG and about which platforms you use, both for RAG and agents. I think that's it. And now I'm going to enter into agents. I think that it's interesting to take a look on LangChain. I think that LangChain is the most used today. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of documentation and a lot of people using. And so having other people using and discussing on forums is very important. Also, because you have a good community, if you have any problems, you have people to answer. There is also the Hugging Face agent. I think it's a bit less used, but should be quite good because everything that Hugging Face does is very good. And you being their environment, which is good because probably you're going to use most of the models that are there too. And let's understand now what are agents and why it's probably the future. So basically, what is an agent? It's something slash an AI model. So basically, it's a bot that is able to perform tasks based on what it's asked. If you take a normal algorithm, it has different stuff that it can do. And based on what you ask, if there is a perfect match, it's going to do one or the other. When we talk about agents, as it's an AI model behind, it will understand what you want. And based on what it understood that you want, it's going to perform the task. So you can have like an agent that is able to write a SQL code to retrieve information from a database. You can have an agent that is able to write Python code, both for retrieve information in the database that is like a pandas database or like a CSV, or like to write code and help you. You can have an agent that is able to search on Wikipedia. You can have an agent that is able to search on YouTube. I don't know. You can have multiple agents and you can set those agents. And how the agent framework works, you basically gonna have the master that is also an agent that based on what you ask, it's gonna activate one agent or the other. So based on, like, you're gonna say, I would like information about Elon Musk. Information about Elon Musk probably is on Wikipedia, so it will activate the agent of Wikipedia and will search the information there and gonna answer back to you based on what it searched. You're gonna have an agent of YouTube, like, you're gonna ask, I don't know, retrieve, give to me the list of 10 most viewed, watched videos on YouTube. If in the YouTube API you have the information, it will be able to retrieve from you. And yeah, so basically you have a master agent that is able to control other agents. And the idea is great, to be honest. Like, I love the idea, and for me it's the future. It's just not there yet, like, perfectly performing. It's super hard to have a model controlling, like, you have a lot of possibilities to hallucinate, and trying using agents with some friends, we saw that it hallucinates a lot. So if you have a simple task that is only one agent, try to write the code to perform this task instead of letting an agent discover what to do. If you have a complicated task that really can use multiple sources, yes, in this case, the agent is the best solution for you, because we'll need a multi-agent, multiple agents. Well, probably, like, anyways, I don't know exactly how it is right now. I'm saying for like 4 months ago when I tested this application, probably there is a lot of improvement. You have a OpenAI that is doing a lot of research and trying to improve their agent model. A lot of other companies doing so. The open source community also trying to do. So doesn't matter if it's now, it's not yet in the point, because in some months, or like at most some years, like 2 years max, we're gonna have a great agent models that are able to control a lot of stuff and do great stuff without hallucinating. That is one of the biggest problems. So yeah, I think that's it. I think it was a very technical episode, but it's been a while that I don't record technical episodes, and I really like. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As I said, like, we have a lot of resources about RAGs and agents on the internet, like a lot of blog posts, notebooks explaining how to do YouTube videos. LangChain, Hugging Face, both of them, they have frameworks for agents. I think that on deeplearning.ai, there are a lot of courses related to LangChain that Andrew Ng did with the guy that created LangChain. There are quite good videos. I watched some, and they are for free. So you can subscribe yourself to the course. I think it's like 1 hour, 2 hours course, and it's for free. So worth checking. And I think it's interesting to know about it, because this is what is behind what we are using. And probably most of people, they have no idea on what's behind what they are using day to day, because those chat models, like these large language models, now they are in our day to day use. There are a lot of people that are changing. Instead of using Google, they are using ChatGPT to ask questions. And for me, it's crazy to see people that have no knowledge about AI using ChatGPT in a day to day. Like, I think it's amazing, because it means that, like, AI technology is really democratized to everybody right now, which is great. And actually, it's the goal. And yeah, I think that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to follow the podcast on social media. On Instagram, we are podcast.lifewithai. On LinkedIn, we are lifewithai. And yeah, that's it. See you guys, and till the next episode. Bye.